Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
So I'm going to trust you that we can do this, that we can have a hard and honest conversation about one of the challenges that we are all facing. And I want to ask that you give me the benefit of the doubt and that I will give you the benefit of the doubt. So can we do that? Great. I knew we could, but I wanted to check. Okay, so the challenging thing that we need to talk about that is affecting all of us is the issue of racism in our country and in our world today. Now, let me say a few things at the outset, just so we can be clear and on the same page together. The first thing is that I have said racist things. I have done racist things. I have not said things that need to be said, and I have not done things that need to be done in this area. And so I don't want anybody to think that I am claiming any kind of moral or ethical high ground in this conversation. I also don't want anybody to think that I am calling them a racist or calling out their racist actions by having a conversation about this. So that's the first thing. So the second thing is, some of you are probably worried that I'm about to quote unquote get political here. And ultimately, the conversation around race and racism does intersect with our politics. But the reality of what we're going to talk about leans into a common ground area where I believe Christians are called to go and called to talk about. And so while I believe that this conversation could help you with your politics, I believe that that's a conversation between you and Jesus that I hope that you will have. Also, at the outset of this conversation, I want to let you know that there isn't a call to an affiliation with any group in particular lurking at the end of this message. I have been clear in other places that I believe we are called to condemn racism in all its forms and any group that is calling for extremism at large, but also in the area of racism. So we condemn racism in all its forms, and that is historic and systemic. That is caught and taught racism. That is things that are new and old. All forms of racism we need to condemn. And so I want to be clear about that at the outset as well. And lastly, I want you to know that I don't have any kind of secret agenda here. I don't have an agenda except for hopefully the one that is the Jesus agenda, where we are seeking to love one another as Jesus loved us and as Jesus loved us first. So if that's an agenda, that's the one I have. All right, so how about all of that to get us started here in this hard conversation about race? Well, in addition to the things that we hear about in the headlines and the things that we see flash across our social media feeds, the issue of racism is one that affects us personally and one affects us directly as well. It affects all of us in the one sense, but for those that claim Park Ridge Presbyterian as their church family, it affects us directly as well. Now, I could tell you stories about the ways in which we have had racist actions done towards each other. I could tell you about how people have mixed up individuals thinking they're one person and the other. I could tell you about some of the experiences our friends have had enduring racist acts during their school age years and even now. I could confess to you the mistakes that I've made. There's a few conversations and instances I would love to have back. But perhaps in this moment, better than me sharing those things with you, I want you to hear from one of our families directly about how racism has impacted them. And specifically, I'd love to have you hear the story of the Schultz family and their trip to the park.
Hi, I'm Warren Schultz and I go to Oriole Park School.
Hi, I'm Holly Schultz, I'm 10 years old and I also go to Oriole Park School.
Hi, I'm Liz Schultz and I'm a member of the session at Park Ridge Presbyterian, and I am a sergeant of police for the Chicago Police Department. The past 16 years.
Well, we were at Centennial Park in Park Ridge, and we go there all the time.
And the boys were playing on the big tower structure, and Porter came over to me and said, you know, there's a problem.
Well, with our friend Alex, we were going to go down the slide, and a kid told us that I couldn't go up because of the color of our skin. So then I didn't know, I got confused, and Porter got angry because he's not letting any of us up, even if we're a different skin. So then we just climbed up anyways.
And so my first reaction was to be, you know, very upset, and I went over there right away. And I asked Porter to point out who it was, and he pointed to this small child at the top of the tower, and I said, that's him? And he said, yeah. So this little boy couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old, and so I called up and I said, can you please come down? By that point, his mom came over and asked what was going on, and she was visibly mortified at the situation, and she sort of pulled him off to the side and asked him, you know, why he would say something like that. And before I knew it, she had sort of hustled him off the park and they were gone. And so I never got a chance to talk to her about the situation. Their friend, who they had been playing with probably for about a couple weeks, they made friends with this boy. He was very vocal about defending both of them. He told, you know, this kid, even after the fact, you know, in retelling the story, he said, you know, that you can't talk to them like this, that they can go anywhere they want to go. So I was very heartened, you know, to see that this boy, who didn't really know them very well, was very vocal in helping them and defending them.
Schultz, an 8-year-old member of our church family, was told that he could not go on a particular part of the playground because he was black. Now, of course, as we heard in the story, Liz, his mom, wanted to figure out more of what was going on, but by the time she could get a chance to connect to this little child who was probably just repeating something that he had heard, which is a whole level of concern there, and kids say the craziest things, but this isn't something kids just make up on their own. She didn't get to have that conversation she would have wanted to with the mom. As she said, the mom hustled the kid off the playground, just like any parent would when the kid has done something that's embarrassing or that is alarming to them. And so we don't know more about this situation. And so we hope that this family is moving in a positive direction and that this is just a kid saying something that they didn't understand. But that's the reality of the situation, is that people are finding their way towards racist actions and racist words in many, many ways. And our family, the Schultz family, has been subjected to this kind of racism at a park in Park Ridge. So when we say that racism is an issue, that is a challenge that we are facing this as a church family. We have been facing these issues with many of our church members throughout the years. But in these days that we are going through now, there is a new appreciation for just how difficult it is for people when they are subjected to racist actions and racist words and racist policies. But also, yes, in the midst of that story, there is hope. There was the friend, Alex, who stood up for Porter and Rome and said that they had the right to be anywhere they want. And so in the midst of this, it is also true that all hope is not lost, but that there is a lot of work yet to do is also true. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but there is interesting to me that the issues surrounding these kind of challenges are not new ones. We know that they trace back through the history of America, but some of these same very challenges trace back all the way through to the time that Jesus was around, and more specifically, to the times after Jesus. In one of his letters that he wrote to his friends in Galatia, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes to his friends there, reminding them about what it means to be truly human and what it means to be fully human. And the words from Galatians chapter 5 are as follows. Paul wrote this to his friends. For in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Being one in Christ and being an heir of the promise of salvation is what defines what it means to be fully human, in the words of Paul. Now, what that means for us, and meant the same thing for them, is that there is unity in the people. There is unity in what it means to be human. It also means that we are all equal heirs of the promise of salvation. And now that promise of salvation that Paul speaks to there and others in scriptures talk to is a promise of salvation both in an eternity to come, but also salvation here on earth now. And the reality of that salvation is that we are called to help all people experience what God wants for them in this life. That's what salvation in this life means. That people can experience what it means to be fully human. That they can experience the full gift of God's love. They can experience the full gift of God's joy. And one of the things that keeps people from experiencing what it means to be fully human and fully loved by God is racism. Racism holds people back from being fully loved by God, and it holds people from being able to experience what it means to be fully human. And so when we think about that, we know that God calls us to help everybody experience God's love fully. We know that God calls us to help everybody to experience the good life that God wants for them so that they can experience what it means to be fully human. And if we know that racism holds us back, then we know that we are called by God to help end the destructive path that racism brings. Now, if we know that racism is not something that we want, that racist words and racist actions as followers of Jesus are something that we are called to condemn, that also means that we need to make sure that we are not simply being not racist, but look to what it means to be anti-racist. Now, it's very simple on the one hand to say we condemn racism. That's the first easy step. But then many of us will say, well, I'm not racist. And I will tell you that that's the place that I found myself in for a very long time. I said to myself, well, I'm not like them over there, so I'm not a racist. But I realized that being not a racist isn't good enough. Being not racist keeps you on the sidelines. It keeps you from doing things that help end racism and end racist acts and racist words. So if it's not good enough to be not racist, then we need to consider the invitation to be anti-racist. To be anti-racist is to be doing our part to end the destructive effects that racism, racist acts, and racist words, and racist policies have on our world today, and have on people that we know and love, people in our church family. Now, from a faith-based perspective, that invitation to consider being more anti-racist in our lives is really an invitation to help people fully experience God's love and to fully experience what it means to be human. Because part of what racism does is it denies the full humanity of the people that are being subjected to racist words, actions, or policies. It says that they are less than. It says that they don't deserve what you deserve. And what we know from Paul and we know from Jesus is that God loves us all, and God wants us all to have equally good lives, and God wants us all to experience the gift of God's love as well. Now, one of the things that happens is when racism enters into the church, we also find our way into this unintentional telling people that they don't belong in the church. And then when anytime we unintentionally tell somebody they don't belong in the church, they start to perhaps believe that if they don't have a place with God's people, then they might not have a place with God. And that's where we know we can't go. And it isn't good enough to just be not in favor of that. We need to be against those things and consider being more anti-racist. Now, I want to speak to a few things about this and thinking about where we might be in this place and in this journey. Now, for some of our congregation, they're hearing this and they're saying, yeah, I'm all the way there. I am seeking to be more anti-racist in my words and more anti-racist in my actions and more anti-racist in the kinds of things that I cultivate in the world. And they're like, all right, let's get going. What's next? And if you find yourself in that place, we want to say good for you, but we also need to say to you, we need you to be patient with some of us. We need you to be ready to show us what you've learned, help us to see ways forward, but to be patient with us as we figure out what the next step that we might take as a church is, or what next steps we might take individually. Now, there's some of you also, there's some of us that are saying to yourselves, I feel like I'm wrestling with this concept of race in a new way or a strong way for the first time in a long time, or really recognizing your place in the conversation on race. And you are like, I don't even know what this stuff means. I see what's happening in the news. I hear these stories of people who are subjected to racist actions, and I just don't know what to do. And we want to come alongside all people in this journey, and especially if you find yourself in that place. We'll take steps together to understand what this means and the impact of these things. And then there's another group of people. And I mentioned this earlier. This is where I found myself in many ways too. And that's the group of people that says, well, I know I'm not racist, and I know I'm not a racist, but I'm not sure about this taking steps to be more anti-racist. Now, if you're like me, an upwardly mobile, middle-class person, and you have looked through your life and you say to yourself, no matter how long that life has been, I have moved through stages of this conversation. Some of you were around in the 60s and participating in these things. Many of you have been in other conversations along the way, and you have been a part of racial reconciliation, and you have come in contact with ethnic racism and biological racism and body racism, and you have worked so hard and have moved past those things, those types of racism. But maybe if you're like me, you're struggling with this next step, which is group racism. That you look at the actions of one person and you generalize that to a whole group of people. That you racialize an ethnic group to say that if one person acts this way, they all must act that way. Or if a group acts that way, then everyone in that group will act that way. And that's a form of racism that is really prevalent in my heart at times, and I'm working on that. And I think that's a step that many people who are like, well, I'm not racist, can look towards growth in this area. And that isn't to say that it is a place where many people are, but I know it's a place where some people are. And I want to say to all of us in that spot, so let's continue to take steps to be more anti-racist. In many ways, you know, if you fit in this group, you're right there. And you're ready to make that turn like I'm trying to make, to go from being not racist to an anti-racist. Because we know that God wants all of us to experience the good life that God has for us. God wants us all to experience God's love. And we want nothing to keep people from experiencing the full humanity that they want and the fullness of God's love and the full joy in this life. And that includes the challenges that racism in our country bring about today. So I want to encourage us to consider a few things at this time that might help us accept this invitation to becoming more anti-racist. And the first thing is simply that. To consider accepting the invitation to move in a more anti-racist direction in your life. To ask yourself, what's the next anti-racist thing that I can do that will help somebody experience the fullness of their humanity and the fullness of God's love? The second thing that I want to encourage us to do is to have constructive conversations around these topics of race and anti-racism. Constructive conversations with trusted people are important, and they look from a place of humility, they look towards a place of learning, and they look towards a place of understanding that there's a lot of growth for all of us in this way. And the last one is I want to invite you to, and the last one is I want to invite you into the learning conversation about these things. There are some ongoing ways that we are already engaging in anti-racism learning as a congregation. There's a book study that I would refer you to. We've created a dedicated page on our website with some resources for people of all ages to engage in the conversation of anti-racism. And I want to encourage you to join me and join others in learning about these things at this time. So I want to encourage you to take one, two, or three of those steps. We are facing a lot of challenges in our world today. We are, for sure. But one of those challenges is the challenge of racism. And so I want to encourage us all to continue on in the journey of faith, where we are seeking to help support everyone to experience the full humanity that God has for them and the fullness of God's love for them. And let's do our part to make sure that everybody can experience that, and to do our part to make sure that racism is not the thing that keeps people from experiencing the life that God wants for them and the love that God has for them. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.